and welcome to this Friday edition of Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Thanks very much to Chris Check for filling in for me yesterday. It's a crazy time we're living in, but we keep moving at Catholic Answers and through the good auspices of all the folks at the various radio networks and at EWTN and on the various platforms around the world. We're still able to bring you the show despite California being shut down. We haven't all figured out what California being shut down means yet, but we'll figure it out in the coming days. Today, we've got two great hours with you. Second hour, Jimmy Akin will be here for a bonus open forum. So we'll just finish the week with the work week anyways with any question that you've got. You got anything? Jimmy's happy to take your question. That'll be the second hour. This hour, our good friend Dr. Greg Popcheck is with us, and we're going to talk about coronavirus anxiety, what we might call coronavirus stress syndrome. Dr. Popcheck is the founder and proprietor of the Pastoral Solutions Institute. You can find them at CatholicCounselors.com, and they do they'll help you connect with a Catholic counselor, and they'll help you if whatever your struggle might be. He's also the author of a whole bunch of books. And he is the host. He and his wife are the hosts of. oh my goodness! Help me out because I got stuck on take two with Jerry and Debbie. But I know you don't
More
host
to
that.
Life.
More to More life. To Thank
life
you.
With
God
Dr.
bless
Greg
you.
And Lisa Popcheck.
That's the sorry. I got Jerry and Debbie in my brain for a second there. More to life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network each morning. More to life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. Dr. Popcheck, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks, Cy. No.
No, it's great to be here. It's going to be that way. Okay, I see. It's going to be one of those shows. All right, so tell me about coronavirus stress syndrome. Everybody's feeling a bit stressed out today. Well, what do folks mean by this coronavirus stress syndrome?
It's a term that psychologists have coined to reference the higher levels of stress that everybody is experiencing in the face of this global pandemic. And, you know, on the one hand, stressful things are certainly stressful. So it's, you know, perfectly natural to be somewhat anxious about what's going on and somewhat worried about what's going on. But when we get to the place where we're experiencing anxiety that's making it more difficult for us to engage in our relationships, enjoy the things that we usually enjoy, function well in our workplace, if we are obsessively checking news and social media and can't seem to pull ourselves away from it, if we are sort of consumed by what are called catastrophizing thoughts, sort of those what-if scenarios that take over our minds, if you're experiencing anxiety about your own personal health, you know, you have perhaps particular ache or pain or whatever, and you start worrying maybe this is, you know, coronavirus. Some people, whenever they get stressed out, self-care kind of gets jettisoned. You know, we sleep more poorly. We don't eat as well. We don't exercise as much. And so because of that, you know, it actually depresses your immune system and can lead to other problems there. And then finally, you know, relationship stress. Also, when people's emotional temperatures are heightened, they tend to argue more and experience more relationship stress there, too. So, you know, it's not an official diagnosis, but what coronavirus stress syndrome or COVID stress syndrome is really all about is when the stress related to all the events surrounding the COVID epidemic begin to affect your mental health. And the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, have made recommendations for addressing the mental health components of this whole problem as well.
Well, you know, if you're a person who has mental health difficulties, a time like this can be, because I was also thinking about it, and I would just run this by you. There are many people who have a kind of routine that helps them to deal with their mental health problems. Maybe they go to a certain a spot, or they have a certain exercise that they do, and that gets disrupted. I imagine this just not having that could be very stressful to some folks.
Well, I'll give you a perfect example. I mean, the fact that masses have been suspended all over the country, right?
Right.
I mean, you know, a lot of people are really feeling like their spiritual legs have been kicked out from underneath them. One caller to our radio program said, you know, they're taking away Jesus from us right when we need him the most. So when we have these things that we've tended to rely on, whether it's our spiritual resources or work or extracurricular activities or other things that we used to do to make us feel better, and they get taken away, it is stressful and it is scary, and people sort of flounder a bit as they try to figure out, what am I supposed to turn to get those resources that I need to manage my stress effectively?
So you've got, among your books, you've got the book Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. So draw from that, if you would. Draw from the book Unworried to help us here.
Sure. Sure. Well, you know, I mean, the title, you know, is a little provocative, A Life Without Anxiety. I get questions from people all the time who'll say, you know, is that really even possible? And especially in the face of a global pandemic, you know, is it even sane? To not have anxiety. I make the distinction in the book between a concern and worry or anxiety. It's perfectly appropriate to be stressed about stressful things or have concern about things that are concerning. But here's the difference. You know, if I'm concerned about something, I identify the problem, and then ideally bring it to God. But then in addition to that, I look around for resources to help me manage the problem, and I try to make a plan to do what I reasonably can to address the problem, right? So, you know, I'm aware of the issue, but I'm able to be solution-focused and feel competent in the face of that problem. Where worry and anxiety take over is when I see the problem and I become so consumed by the problem that I'm not able to bring that problem to God or access my resources or make a plan or follow through. I'm just so stuck looking at this problem coming down on me like a, you know, 3 billion ton train that I can't think of anything else to do except be sort of obsessively, well, in this crisis, staring at the news, for example, looking at the latest headline. I just keep ruminating about this thing over and over and over and over again. So in the book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, I talk about how to approach concerns in a way that is solution-focused, that does allow us to maintain our spiritual resources, our emotional resources, our relational resources, and make a plan and follow through with that plan to address those things without falling off the edge into that land of worry and anxiety.
888-318-7884 is our number. Dr. Greg Pupchak, our guest, the founder of the Pastoral Solutions Institute, which you can find out all about at CatholicCounselors.com. And among the things that you do at the Pastoral Solutions Institute is, and maybe I shouldn't say, maybe this is just what you do, is you consider the whole person in dealing with these. Maybe just before we go to calls, if you could say something about the whole person, that we don't, as Catholics, for example, deny the science of psychiatry or psychology, but we also don't deny any of the other parts of the whole person.
Mm-hmm. No. So at Catholic Counselors, you know, we're a telemental health practice, so people can engage with our therapists over the telephone or video teleconferencing. And we've been doing this, by the way, for 20 years. You know, now with the epidemic, it seems like everybody and their uncle is trying to get into telemedicine, but we've really been leaders in this area for the last 20 years. And our approach in general, though, is to see the person in their physical, emotional, relational, and spiritual context, you know. So, for example, you know, a lot of people know that cognitive behavior therapy is sort of the gold standard for treating depression and anxiety disorders, other emotional problems, and all of our therapists are trained in CBT. But while we talk about cognitive distortions and different bad thinking habits that can exacerbate bad situations and lead us into emotional distress, we also, at the same time, will talk about the spiritual influences that impact our mental health. So, for example, we'll address the idea of consolations and desolations, which is St. Ignatius of Loyola's terms for those impulses or thoughts or feelings that kind of pass through our minds or hearts that pull us away from God, make it harder for us to be the person God wants us to be. And so, at the same time, we're addressing those cognitive distortions like catastrophizing that I mentioned earlier. We're also talking about what are the desolations that the enemy might be whispering in your spiritual ear that make it harder for you to do what God wants you to do in the face of the challenges you're experiencing. So we try to take a very whole person approach, as you said, that brings all of those different aspects of the person, as well as all the different resources you can draw from the physical, emotional, relational, and spiritual sources.
888-318-7884. We're talking about coronavirus stress today, and as you can hear, we're taking a holistic approach in responding to it. If you have questions about that, I know lots of folks are maybe feeling cooped up. You're dealing with family members in ways that you don't generally have to deal with family members. You're dealing with work stresses, money stresses, all that. If you'd like some help with that, if you'd like to just discuss what are some strategies for dealing with those stresses, Dr. Greg Pupchak is our guest today. 888-318-7884. The number 888-318-7884. If you want to build up your Catholic library, get a little good reading material in the house. Right now, we've got that 5 for $25 promo going, and you can get 5 really fine Catholic books for $25. That's, you know, $5 each. I did the math before I went on the air. I know what it is. $5 each, $25 gets you 5 really excellent Catholic books. You get things you can choose from include Why We're Catholic, The Bible is a Catholic Book, Made This Way, and a bunch more. Just go to shop.catholic.com, shop.catholic.com, and get your 5 for $25 right now.
We're waiting for your call. Grab that line and get on board.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Catholic Answers Live is sponsored by Daily Catholic Wisdom. Go to catholicwisdom.org and sign up for short daily reflections from brilliant, faithful Catholic minds. Literary giants, beloved saints, and relevant voices from today share insightful and inspiring snippets that you can read in less than a minute and reflect on throughout the day. Plus, enjoy exclusive discounts on popular Catholic books, talks, video content, and more. Join Catholics across the globe who start their day with Daily Catholic Wisdom. Sign up for free today at catholicwisdom.org.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, second hour open forum. This hour, we're talking with Dr. Greg Pupchak from More to Life with Greg and Lisa Pupchak, mornings on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And we're talking about this coronavirus stress that we're all going through, including what has been labeled coronavirus stress syndrome, where folks are kind of ruminating on the situation to a degree that's unhealthy and maybe unhelpful. If you have questions or you'd like some direction or help, you're welcome to call. We're all in this together, as they say. I was so tempted to break out into the song, but no, I probably shouldn't sing anything from High School Musical right now. That's not going to help.
All in this together.
Oh, he did it. Oh, he went there. Look at... Oh, you're doing the dance moves, too. Very nice.
I am. If only we could see it. If only Skype was working today.
I know. Have you got your Corbin Blue moves there?
I taught him all of his moves. Are you kidding
me? I believe it. I believe it. 888-318-7884, the number. Dr. Greg Pupchak, our guest. Michael in Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio, KVSS. You are up first this hour. Michael, your question for Dr. Greg Pupchak.
Yes, thank you. I was just wondering about, you know, we've been talking a lot lately about the social teaching of the common good, doing things for the common good. And I was just wondering, like, you know, we're doing that, but there's also a lot of information going on out there that people are getting so worried and anxious about this coronavirus. And, you know, and at the same time that I'm trying to do things for the common good, you know, when I hear information, I'm also saying, like, well, is this exactly correct? You know, are they telling us the correct information? Is it okay to doubt, you know, what officials are telling us? I mean, are we, you know, by going by the church teaching, are we supposed to be believing everything that everyone's telling us? Because, you know, when you use your common sense, some of this just seems so overboard, overkill. And so is it wrong to just say, like, you know, I'm going to go into town today, even though they say we're not supposed to?
Oh, okay. So a moral question. Fair enough. Dr. Pupchak, what do you make of that?
Well, yeah, I mean, so I think that, you know, the church certainly does not ask us to mindlessly follow authority. You know, it's okay to question authority and to, you know, to ask those questions that try to get to the root of why people are saying what they are saying. With something like this, what I would say is that we can certainly have our own private concerns, and we can certainly ask our own private questions. But when it comes to public health concerns, I do think that there is a moral dimension to this, that even if we don't completely understand why people are making the recommendations that they are, we do know it is a fact that many people who are asymptomatic are able to spread this disease. It does spread much, much more rapidly than the common flu and other similar illnesses. And so I think we do have a moral obligation to work for the good of others by, you know, practicing good social distancing and following those recommendations. Like I said, I don't think there's anything wrong with asking those questions and discussing the issues at hand and, you know, debating whether this policy or that policy is really acceptable. But when it comes to actually the practices that maintain public health, especially in the face of what is a global pandemic, I really do think that we have a moral obligation to follow those recommendations.
Now, what do you make of that?
That's great,
Michael.
That's wonderful. I just wanted to kind of get your opinion on that. Thank you very much.
Thank you very, very much. I think we have from St. Paul the directive to be docile to the authority of government. And sometimes I feel like we have almost a split personality as American Catholics, because the American thing is rebellion and standing up to government and all that. But the Catholic thing does not stress that. It stresses more, as the caller was saying, submitting to authority for the common good.
Yeah, well, and I think that qualifier on the end, for the common good, is important. You know, I mean, so, you know, if an authority asks you or orders you to do something that's immoral, we have an obligation to defy that authority, right? But in a situation like this, where even if we have personal doubts about particular recommendations, you know, if the rule of charity is that we're obliged to work for each other's good, and there is some doubt that, you know, a behavior might not be in the best interest of the common good, I think we're obliged to err on the side of caution and follow those recommendations while we continue to explore the issues ourselves and ask those questions ourselves. You know, it's important to do what the recommendations are to be able to maintain public order and public health.
Dr. Greg Pupchak, our guest, among his books, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. If you're struggling with anxiety, or if you know somebody who is and you'd like a healthy Catholic perspective from a mental health professional who is also a devoted son of the church, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Have you got any good kind of just basic self-help strategies you might share with us in a time like this?
Sure. And you know, these are all very common things. They're not going to be earth-shattering recommendations, but they're the sort of things that go out the window when we do get stressed, you know, because even simple things like basic self-care, you know, sticking to your bedtimes and getting good amounts of rest, you know, eating well, making sure to keep up with your exercise schedule, you know, those things go out the window and we start obsessively checking news headlines and worrying about, everything at this point, really. You know, so working to maintain your basic self-care strategies and a basic schedule. So a lot of people, for example, are home now, working from home. And the temptation there is to maybe, you know, not get dressed in the morning and not maintain your regular work schedule. But that actually is really disruptive to mental health, you know. So trying to maintain those patterns, whatever you used to do to get dressed and get ready for work, get up at the same time. You know, get showered. Okay, fine. You can, you know, be business casual instead of, you know, the whatever it was you usually wear. But do get dressed, you know, and keep the regular hours that you've kept. You know, maintain those rituals and those habits. Really important stuff. Limit your social media and your news intake. You know, even though something seems to be rolling out every half hour or every 10 minutes even, you know, try to limit your intake to a couple of times a day. Rely on those trusted media sources, whatever they are, and focus on those instead of reacting to every single post that every single person is putting. Everybody has an opinion on the internet, and sometimes that's fun. This is one of those times where maybe it's not as good to clue into that. And I think it does raise our stress levels pretty significantly. And then, you know, do engage in productive activities. Again, whenever we're stressed out, we just want to sit and stare at headlines and stare at the news. This is a good time to play those games with your family, to do some reading together as a family, to, you know, engage in those projects that you always say you want to get to but you haven't had time to do. Really focus on doing those things that give you joy and help you feel productive and competent and proactive. And then finally, look for ways to increase connection with the people in your life. You know, one of the things I talk about in the book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, is that anxiety tends to happen when we feel cut off, when we feel disconnected from God, from the loving support of others, and from our best selves. And one of the best strategies for fighting back against anxiety is doing whatever we can, despite the fact that we feel anxious or worried, to reach out to God, to reach out to others, to try to be what we would consider to be our best selves, even if it feels like we're faking it at first. Because sometimes you got to fake it till you make it. And the good news is that feelings will follow actions. And for many of us, if we can just say those prayers anyway, if we can reach out to others anyway, if we can do that thing that we know that God would want us to do anyway, the peace will follow as well.
888-318-7884. We're talking coronavirus stress syndrome today with or this hour with Dr. Greg Popchak. If you have a question in that regard, you want to make a comment, 888-318-7884. You know, one of the things that I think after all of this has receded will be an actual gift that will come out of it is more people will have discovered the really ancient practice of making a spiritual communion. That
yes.
we Catholics have this, can avail ourselves of the sacrament without having to be physically present. And I don't think people know that.
No, and that's a great point you made, Sai, because, you know, as I mentioned earlier, you know, in light of this pandemic, of course, one of the things that we turn to for consolation and solace has been taken away from us. I mentioned that we had a caller to the program that said, you know, when we need Jesus the most, they've taken him away from us. And that's not true, actually.
No.
Because we can make spiritual communion. A lot of people don't know, for example, that Mass happens every day, even if we're not there. You know, most priests are strongly encouraged, if not required, to say Mass every day, even if it's a personal Mass. They say for themselves. That is their ministry, and so they are in many ways obliged to do that. And so even if we're not attending, Mass is still going on every hour of every day. And we can attend those Masses spiritually by making a spiritual communion. In fact, this past weekend, this was the first time my family, I can't remember the last time we didn't go to Mass on a Sunday, you know, especially if I wasn't sick. I don't think that's ever been the case. And so we watched the Mass on EWTN. In the morning, all together. We didn't just watch it, we participated in the Mass. At the time of the spiritual communion, we said the act of spiritual communion prayer. And there are more formal ones. You can look them up online, or you can even just make up your own. But the idea is basically to be able to say, you know, the Lord, my heart aches to be able to receive you physically in your body and blood and soul and divinity. But I ask you now to come into my heart and be my Lord and let me be your body in the world and just fill me with your grace and let me have that communion with you. That ache, that desire to be one with the Lord, just to confess that and make that spiritual communion. It's a powerful thing. And as
it really
we did
is.
As a family, we were really moved. We were really moved
yes.
by the experience, honestly.
Right. I'm going to put in a shameless plug here. If you want to know more about how to make a spiritual communion, we have a brand new interview out with Father Hugh Barber. We asked him about this. We had to sit down and do this with us. Well, actually, he told us. He said, look, we're going to do this. We're going to get it out. So we said, yes, Father. And we recorded about a 25-minute interview with him about how and why to make a spiritual communion during a time
nice.
Like this. And you can get that just by going to CatholicAnswersFocus.com. CatholicAnswersFocus.com. And you can listen to that interview. I think you'll find it very helpful. He says very much just what you just said, Dr. Popchak, and And I really do think this is one of the things that's going to be a gift to the, that's going to still be left with the church after all the coronavirus and whatnot recedes. We have a caller on the line for you, however. Her name is Anne in Whitewater, Wisconsin. Anne, your question for Dr. Greg Popchak.
Okay, hi.
Hi.
Before all this started, you know, I set up for daily mass, and I went to daily mass, and then it was like the rosary. I helped with cleaning in the church. I'll volunteer. I do work part-time, but that was extended care for the children. And so I just feel like everyone has deserted me.
Anne, I'm so sorry to hear that.
And I feel like God has deserted me.
And we're going to have to get Dr. Popchak to respond. We're not deserting you. I feel terrible about this. I timed this poorly, and there's going to be a commercial now. Just hang on 45 seconds, and we'll get Dr. Popchak's response to you, Anne. We're not abandoning you. We're here with you. Hang on.
Catholic Answers Live.
Many Catholics ignore the Bible. They say they have the Church instead. But we should embrace sacred Scripture, not just as the revealed Word of God, but as a Catholic work, intimately connected with the Church from the earliest centuries. In The Bible is a Catholic Book, apologist Jimmy Akin shows how the Bible cannot exist apart from the Church, in its origins, in the truths it contains, in its careful preservation over the centuries. Scripture is inseparable from the Catholic faith. This is fitting, since both come from God for our salvation. If you're a Catholic who sometimes gets intimidated by the Bible is a Catholic Book will help you better understand and take pride in this gift that God gave the world through the Church. After all, Catholics are the original Bible Christians. Order your copy of The Bible is a Catholic Book today by calling 1-844-239-4952, visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Every Catholic has heard the challenge. How can you believe that? Don't you know the Bible says? It's a challenge we have to meet. If we can't reconcile apparent contradictions between Scripture and Catholic teaching, how can our faith survive? And if we can't answer our Protestant brothers and sisters, how will they ever come to embrace the fullness of the faith? In Meeting the Protestant Challenge, apologist Carlo Broussard gives you the knowledge and tools you need to answer 50 of the most common Bible-based objections to Catholicism. Be prepared to give an answer. Order your copy of Meeting the Protestant Challenge today by calling 844-239-4952, visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Miss a show? Make sure to catch up by downloading the podcast, available online at catholic.com.
Still there with us? Come on, tell me you're still there. Anne, you still there with us?
Yes, I'm here.
I'm so sorry. That was terrible. That was just terrible to be to add to your burdens by abandoning you. But thanks for hanging on. Let's get a quick response from Dr. Greg, and then we'll let you engage in a little dialogue.
And God bless you. Just to recap for folks who might be just tuning in, you make sure I got your question right. You're saying that, you know, before all this happened with the pandemic, you had a really good routine. You were going to daily mass. You would help set up for mass. You would do the rosary at church. You would help clean at the church. And those were really important parts of, you know, your spiritual life, for the resources that you use to kind of, you know, to feel connected to God, to feel connected to the church, and those things have gone away. And now you're feeling really deserted by God and the church at this point, and you're wondering what to do. Is that a fair summary?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Oh, God bless your heart. Listen, Anne, God has not deserted you. God is right there with you right now. He is always present. And sometimes, you know, we have certain ways that we like to access God and like to access His grace. And those things are really important to us. And I don't want to take anything away from the fact that you do those beautiful things in service for the church. And those things are very, very meaningful in general and specifically to you. But I the good news is that God is bigger than all of those practices and all of those habits. And the challenge to you right now, when those things are removed from us, and this happens, by the way, in the spiritual walk, very often, for example, if you read the saints or the mystics, they'll talk about, you know, the sense that God has withdrawn from them for a time. Now, God hasn't withdrawn from them. What happens is sometimes God will stop speaking to us in one language that we're used to hearing him in, and he starts speaking to us in a deeper language, because God's language is the language of love, and at various points he might speak to us differently than we're used to hearing him. And so, you know, God has spoken to you in the past through getting ready for Mass and going to Mass and the Rosary and serving in the church. Those are the ways that God has, that's the language that God has spoken to you in. But God is still speaking to you. The challenge right now, though, is asking, is really listening. God, how are you speaking to me now? How do you want me to hear you now? And I would suggest you getting a notebook and writing down all the different ways that you have felt God's presence, all the ways that you know that God loves you, all the little blessings that you encounter throughout the course of your day. And I want you to praise him for those and say, Lord, thank you for showing up for me in this new way, and help open my heart and my ears and my eyes to see all the ways that you are still speaking to me and still present to me in my life. And Anne, before I let you go, I just want to end with a prayer. Lord, we just give you Anne and her beautiful heart. She loves you so much, and these things, these consolations, have been taken away from her because of this pandemic. And we just bring her to you and ask you to shower her with your love and fill her heart with your grace, and let her know what a precious daughter she is to you. Fill her with your Holy Spirit, and let her know your consolation and your peace and your presence. And
Amen.
Thank you so much for your call. And I know that God is blessing you, and he has not abandoned you. Just because those ways that you're used to connecting with him have been taken away for a time, that just means that he wants to find new ways to connect with you on an even deeper level. Ask him to show you what that means.
Okay, Anne?
Okay.
God bless you, sister. Thank you very, very much. Really appreciate that call. It's a tough, tough time. And I suppose there's some ways that, you know, there's such a thing as gallows humor or whatnot. And the jokes are going around, and we make light and all that. And that's, I actually, myself, I think that's kind of healthy in some ways that, you know, mm-hmm. people are making their coronavirus jokes, as long as it's not cruel or anything. But it's also the case that there's many people really suffering hardship because of what's going on right now.
Yeah, no question. I mean, even if you're perfectly healthy, the fact is this is having a tremendous economic impact on many, many, many people. 30% of the country is out of work right now. And then add to that, the spiritual resources that are being taken away, like Anne was just describing. You know, I think most people feel like they've gotten their feet kicked out from underneath them in many ways. And, you know, so what the advice I was giving to Anne applies to all of us in some way. You know, instead of giving into the shock of those various habits or routines or things that we cling to make us feel stable and secure, instead of just giving into the shock of that, asking, you know, how else is God wanting to supply these things for me? So if we're reeling from not being able to go to Mass right now, you know, how can I make spiritual communion like we were talking about in the last segment? You know, what other ways can I connect with God at home? One of the things we did on today's show is talk a lot about the domestic church. You know, and that's a phrase that the church uses for Christian households, for families, and we use that label, but we've not really explored what it means to live as a dynamic domestic church as Catholics. And this is a really wonderful opportunity to look at that question. You know, how can I pray with my wife and my kids in new ways to experience God in a more meaningful way at home? You know, how can we let the faith be the source of the warmth in our home? Because a lot of times, you know, we'll get calls to the radio program, and Lisa and I will say, well, you know, how do you share your faith at home? And the first answer is, well, we go to the Mass as a family. Well, that's great, but how do you share your faith at home? It's like, well, the kids go to youth group. It's like, well, that's great, but how do you share your faith at home? As Catholics, we're not used to thinking about that question. So this is a time to really reinvigorate the life of the domestic church. And I think that's a real important call that could be tremendous fruit from this terrible tragedy if we take it up.
888-318-7884, our number. Dr. Greg Popcheck, our guest this hour. Dr. Popcheck, in addition to being the host of More to Life each morning on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, is the author of many books, including Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. If you are feeling your anxieties high right now and you would like the assistance of someone who is both a mental health professional and a man of the church, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. Maybe you're a parent and you need a little help with the crowd at home. 888-318-7884 is the number. Anyone's welcome to call, by the way. You're always welcome, whether you're Catholic or not. 888-31-TRUTH if you prefer the spelled version. And you can find Dr. Greg's books wherever good books are sold, particularly.
Yeah, I want to give a little plug, if I could. Our Sunday Visitor, who publishes Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, in response to this crisis, is offering the book at 50% off right now if folks go to their website and buy it through them at osv.com. So if you're interested in picking up a copy of Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, you can get a 50% discount for this time at osv.com. So check that out.
You know, our books at Catholic Answers are only 25% off right now, and I feel like you kind of like, I don't know, I feel like that was a little competitive to just go full 50% off.
Hey, man, you know.
It's the apocalypse. Now, that's not a helpful thing to say. Now, come on, man. 888-318-7884 is the number. Oh, my gosh. I'll tell you what. Oh, you know what I'm going to do? Oh, I've got the perfect remedy to the 50% off. Guess what we've got right now at Catholic Answers? We've got a free ebook for you. That's right. Free.
Yeah, free.
We're giving away a free ebook at shop.catholic.com. It's 20 Answers Prayer. Hey, maybe you want to kind of look into the depths of prayer a little bit more. Maybe you're praying more than usual. Maybe you'd like a little bit of help with prayer. It's a beautiful, simple, and direct book on all kinds of things. Like, there's a question in there, one of the 20 questions that you get your 20 answers to. What is a blessing? I never even had really, to tell you the truth, thought deeply about it before. Beautiful answer in there. It's a lovely book from Father Hugh Barber and Father Sebastian Walsh, both Norbertine priests. You've heard them both on our program quite a bit. 20 Answers Prayer. It's free, which is even less than 50% off at shop.catholic.com right now.
We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
St. Paul's street evangelization isn't like other evangelism you might have seen on the streets. We don't yell, and we don't force anyone to pay attention to us. Instead, St. Paul's street evangelization is committed to presenting a positive, passionately Catholic presence to a world hungry for truth. For more information, or to start a chapter of your own, go to www.streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com. It's time to do our part.
Hi, I'm Brian Patrick. Join me, Dr. Matthew Bunsen, and Father Thomas Petrie for The Church Alive.
It's not a happy time at the moment in Washington for the people who go to the Basilica.
Father, you mentioned a forensic investigation. Define forensic in this context.
I think it simply means they're going to be looking if there's any victims who have not come forward, if there's any substance to the allegations.
In other words, we're really digging down into what could be the allegation.
Yes.
The Church Alive, tomorrow, 7 a.m. and 1 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Maybe a little bit lighter on this Friday than usual, but if you've got a serious question, we're happy to take it. We're talking about coronavirus stress syndrome right now with Dr. Greg Popcheck, the founder of the Pastoral Solutions Institute, which you can find at CatholicCounselors.com. Help you from a Catholic science-based, medicine-based perspective, faith-based perspective. To address those problems in your life. Dr. Popcheck is also the host, one of the two hosts, the lesser of the two hosts, I would say, of More to Life.
Definitely the lesser of two hosts,
yes. More to Life each morning with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. We're talking a bit, or we're taking our conversation cues a bit from his book, Unworried, A Life without anxiety available for 50% off, just only 50% off right now at which is Ave Maria Press?
OSV.com.
Our Sunday Visitor Press. All right, now send people to the wrong place. 888-318-7884, our number here. Or you're welcome to submit your question via Facebook or YouTube. I'll try to monitor those as I go. But we'll see how I'm able to do. Dr. Popcheck, it really annoyed me that you said I have to get up and shower every morning, even though I can't go to work right now.
I know, Si. We got to talk about that.
But my wife's happy that you said that. But our routine, when the routines are broken, some of us kind of thrive on that. I know there are people that kind of thrive on that. I am not one of those people who kind of thrives on that. And if you're facing underlying issues of, you know, I've got my life arranged so that I can deal with, you know, my stress, with my depression, with my anxiety, it's awful hard when those habits, those kind of comforting routines are broken.
Well, that's right. And in fact, that's exactly what Anne, our last caller, was sharing, that, you know, she has this routine. It's a beautiful routine where she goes and helps at the church and she sets up for Mass and participates in Mass and leads the rosary. And, you know, those are both spiritual resources and very comforting routines that she's got that have helped her manage stress and stay connected to God and others. And those are all taken away right now. You know, she's not alone. We're all in a place where we've kind of lost some part of the rhythm of our lives. And what I was sharing with her is the same thing that I think we all need to ask ourselves. You know, how can I continue to meet those needs that those other routines were meeting for me? What, you know, there's more than one way to get those needs met. So to be able to step back and take stock of what did those routines do for me, and how can I replicate them as much as possible, but also are there other things I can do to fill in the gaps that are left behind. The other thing that it enables me to do this time is to step back and evaluate whether those routines really were paying off. You know, how the way I was spending my time is actually paying off in terms of the benefits I'm getting from it. Because, you know, when these things are taken away from us, it's a good opportunity to really reflect on the return on our investment, if you will, and see whether we want to maybe take a different approach to some of these things. So, you know, there's no way to slap a smiley face on this. This is a terrible thing that's happening, but we can still draw good even out of terrible things. And being able to step back and look at those routines with fresh eyes and ask how we can continue those benefits and also maybe change some things up is one of those benefits.
What if this is not for me, this is for a friend of mine, but what if the frustration level grows in the home now that we're being around each other, you know, mm-hmm. For stretches of time that we have not been around each other before?
Sure.
And just grit your teeth, get through this, be patient, or are there other things that I should be thinking about doing if the frustration level goes up?
No, I think it's about managing the stress consciously. You know, one of the things that I actually recommend is having conversations at least, you know, a couple times through the day. Maybe say at breakfast time, all right? You're sitting down, you know, and you just say, hey, look, you know, we're in a different time right now. Everything's sort of upended. What do we need to do to take care of each other today? You know, how can, you know, between now and lunch, what are some things we need to do to just remind each other that we're in this together? And that we've got each other's backs. And just talk about what you're trying to do to take care of each other and to be more mindful and intentional about those relationships. Because what happens when our routines are disrupted, everybody kind of creates expectations in their head about how the day should go, but we don't communicate those expectations and we end up tripping over each other. So being able to sit down and have a conversation about, well, you know, what are you hoping to get out of today? You know, what's on your agenda, and how can we work together to make that happen? And what do we need to do to try to take care of each other between now and lunch or between now and dinner, you know, to really make sure that we feel like we've got each other's back and we're trying to be a team here. One of the other things is I really recommend trying to take some time to shore up what we call your rituals of connection around working, praying, talking, and playing together. You know, so instead of just dividing and conquering chores, maybe do some of those chores together. Clean up the kitchen after dinner together. You know, pick up the family room before bed together. Do some of those things that allow you to do the stuff you already do as a family, but do it in a way that allows you to connect with each other. Make a point of, you know, make a point of praying together as a family a little bit more, of asking those questions that don't naturally come up, like what was the high point of the day or the low point in the day, or how has God shown up for you, or like I was just saying, what can we do to take better care of each other? And make a point of, you know, playing together, a board game or a story time for younger kids or those kinds of things, that, doing a project that help you feel closer to each other. You're really intentionally investing time in managing the relationship and doing those things, those rituals that help you feel closer to each other.
888-318-7884. Up next, I believe, is Juan in Cleveland. Are we ready to go to Juan in Cleveland? Juan, are you there with us?
And yoga or
Juan. Hi, Juan. Can you hear me? Sorry, we're having a little difficulty. Juan, you are on the air with Dr. Greg Popcheck. Your question for Dr. Greg Popcheck?
Hey, doctor. I was wondering that you're talking about family and doing things and all that too. How about anything like personal? Do you have any ideas about meditation or yoga or deep breathing, any kind of herbs you can take to kind of calm this body down?
We've got to be careful with which herbs are we talking about. Okay, go ahead.
Well, yeah, so absolutely. In fact, in our book, in my book Unworried, we kind of break that down into the physical things you can do, the spiritual things, the relational things, the emotional things that you can do. So tons of different techniques. One of the simplest exercises I could recommend to you, in addition to, well, let me start with this. You were talking about meditation. Let's talk about prayer. You know, when we're going through crisis, our prayer life tends to be, God help me, God help me, God help me, God help me, right? God save me from this, God save me from this, God. And that's fine. You know, God wants us to pray, and he accepts whatever we do to reach out to him, and he reaches back to us. But one of the things I suggest to my clients and to callers on our program is that when we pray, it's a good idea to say, Lord, help me know how to respond to this in a way that will give you glory, and help me be the person you want me to be. And if that prayer takes me out of that passive position of sitting and waiting anxiously for God to show up, and instead puts me in that active position of trusting the Lord to inform my mind and my actions and my heart with those things that he wants me to do in response, so that I can be an agent of grace and change in this. So watch how you're praying. You know, pray to be that instrument and conduit of grace. So that's number one. Number two, I'm going to encourage everybody to get a notebook and actually write out those things that happen in the course of the day that show that God is showing up for them. You know, it's so easy to get caught up, understandably, in the horrible headlines that are truly, objectively horrible. And I'm not suggesting that you pretend those things aren't there. But in addition to that, it's important to really take stock of all the little ways that God is showing up for us every day. So if there's a little blessing that you experience, you have those little moments of peace that come out of nowhere, that peace beyond all understanding, basically. You have those little moments of connection with others. You know, God made those things possible. And it's important to write those things down and then praise him for each and every one of those things. St. Paul calls that making a sacrifice of praise. You know, the idea that we don't necessarily feel like praising God right now, but when we identify those things that we are grateful for, that are blessings, and we do praise God, what God does for us in that praise is remind us that he is always faithful to us, and he is present to us even now. So those are a couple of things that anybody can do. I would say, you asked about, you know, natural remedies. Interestingly enough, there actually is lavender oil capsules, believe it or not, in a placebo-controlled double-blind study, which is the gold standard of medical research. They found that lavender oil capsules have been as effective as benzodiazepines for treating anxiety disorders without the side effects. So they are readily available online. So that is something, if somebody's looking for some natural remedies in that, that is a possibility as well.
Well, they were readily available online.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, at
might
the moment.
A couple more days.
Yeah, good luck getting them. 888-318-7884, the number. Second hour, Jimmy Akin's going to be here, and we're going to do open forum. So if you have questions of a more generally religious nature, you're welcome to call. And you could basically ask Jimmy anything. He's going to take whatever question you've got. 888-318-7884. This hour, we have Dr. Greg Popcheck from More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck, mornings on EWTN's Global Catholic Radio Network. And the book we're kind of taking our clues from is his book, A Life Without Anxiety, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. Again, 888-318-7884. Is there, when we're kind of talking about this anxiety thing, there is the low grade, but do you have help for people who maybe, I don't know, are experiencing like waking up at night and suddenly have kind of intense anxiety? I mean, there are folks who, for whom all of a sudden they might feel very anxious about the kids or the job or whatever. Are there things that can help us in those very intense anxious moments?
Absolutely. And those are the kinds of things that it's important to not try to struggle through on your own. And okay. So we have a lot of strategies, you know, through in the practice at CatholicCounselors.com, where we work with folks who deal with that, you know. And one of those things that we'll talk about is, I mentioned this sort of earlier, you were asking me about the approach where we integrate the whole person. You know, we will talk about those cognitive distortions or thoughts like catastrophizing, where we kind of run on those what-if scenarios through our head, or like magnification, where it's sort of like standing in the middle of a railroad track and watching a train coming down on you and forgetting that that if you take a couple of steps to the left or the right, you'll be okay, and the only thing going through your head is, how can I ever let this train over my head, you know? We get these thought, bad thinking habits that cause us to experience a stressful event as a cause of panic or deep anxiety. And those are often coupled with what St. Ignatius of Loyola called desolations, which is when the enemy is whispering different thoughts or impulses in our spiritual ear that pull us away from God's grace and make it harder for us to be the person that God wants us to be. So one of the things that we do is help people confront those lies that Satan whispers in their spiritual ear and confront those false thoughts, those cognitive distortions that lead to anxiety. And so if somebody's experiencing that level of anxiety where they're not able to sleep at night, where it is affecting their functioning at work or their relationships, then it's time to seek some professional help. And that's what we do at CatholicCounselors.com.
CatholicCounselors.com. You can visit there anytime and avail yourself of the solutions there. It's part of the Pastoral Solutions Institute, which is founded by Dr. Greg Popcheck, our guest this hour. 888-318-7884, the number. And we're talking about the coronavirus stress syndrome, the fact that people are stressing out about it. We do, in our Catholic faith, have answers where we're able as Catholics, I suppose, because Jesus said things like, know the truth and then the truth will set you free. And St. Paul said things like, test everything, keep what is good. We've been encouraged not to turn only to the tools of faith, but never to deny the tools of faith, even when we turn to the tools of science. All of that is available to us as Catholics, and that's what Dr. Popcheck shares through his writing and his other ministries. You can find him each weekday in the morning on EWTN's Global Catholic Radio Network with More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. If I could get an encouraging word from you, or what you would say, I guess to the world right now, I would appreciate it before we have to go, Dr. Popcheck.
Well, you know, be not afraid. As I said at the very beginning of this hour, you know, it's perfectly natural to be stressed about stressful things, and so we don't need to beat ourselves up about that. But it's one thing to have concerns; it's another thing to give over to worry and anxiety. And again, the difference is this. When we're worried or anxious, we just see the problem, and we obsess about the problem, and we ruminate about the problem, and we burn up all kinds of emotional and spiritual energy worrying about the problem, and that makes us feel like we're doing something. And all we're doing is we're wearing ourselves into a grave. But when we are concerned about something, we identify the particular problems that we're concerned about. We bring those problems to God and pray, like I was suggesting to Juan, Lord, help me know how you want me to respond to this. help me be this instrument of grace in this situation, that we gather the resources that God makes available to us, we gather the support of those people around us, and we make a plan for addressing it. And that's a healthy way to respond to a concern. Focus on addressing concerns in that solution-focused way, and God, and trust that God is with you.
Dr. Greg Pupchak, thank you very much. Really appreciate that you took the time out of your Friday evening to do this hour with us.
Always a pleasure, Sly. Thank you.
We may have to call on you again. We'll see how long this goes on and what other things come up, but I know that you're always available to us, and I'm grateful for it. Coming up next hour, Open Forum, Jimmy Akin will wrap up the work week. With any question you've got on the life, the faith, the history of the Catholic Church, you want to know about Catholic people, Catholic beliefs, the Bible, the sacraments, the Pope, any of it, 888-318-7884. And you don't have to be Catholic to call, 888-318-7884.